Kings 17, and we're following here the path of Elijah, and we're up to a very sensitive moment in his ministry. We've looked so far and seen that Elijah has come out of nowhere, and he's come on the scene in a pretty big and powerful way. He's gone to the king at the time, Ahab, and we did a little bit of study on king and his lovely wife Jezebel, and also identified her family tree with her dad in nearby Sidon there as being Baal worshippers, occult worshippers, and we saw then the impact on the country now that Ahab and Jezebel are on the throne. We've seen the prophet go before the king and declare that it's not going to rain until I say so. As a matter of fact, there's not going to be any dew on the ground. There's going to be no moisture in the land until I say so. And then we looked last time at the fact that Ahab is silent there after verse 1. There's nothing in there indicating directly, and we then see from the chapters afterwards that he did not heed counsel and the value of listening and heeding godly counsel and seeking it out. And then we saw the word of the Lord come to Elijah and take him to the brook Cherith, where he stayed. The water was provided, and ravens brought his takeaway meals morning and night. And the blessed application from that we looked at last time was that Elijah was brought low. God hid him away, not at the moment from terrific persecution, but that God took him to that brook to teach him valuable lessons of depending on him. And what a marvelous thing that is, because we see him come and be able to speak from experience to this widow who is in need. And so come with me, please, to 1 Kings 17. And we'll read here in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee unto Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. God's instructions come to the prophet. Your provision here at the brook has ceased, but don't worry, I've got the next step. I want you to take a step of obedience and actually make a sizable travel over to the coasts of Palestine. I want you to leave the land. I want you to go over here into a city that is located between Tyre and Sidon. It's a Canaanite city on the outskirts of the land, western coast of Palestine. And guess who's in charge of this land? Jezebel's father. You know the city. You know the one that stinks outside from all of those shells that they use to develop the colour purple. Yeah, we've come back again. Full circle to the colour purple. I've interestingly managed to pull purple out of the wardrobe today. And so I will declare tonight, please feel comfortable wearing purple. All right, nothing wrong with wearing purple. But I sense here, isn't it amazing thing that God has a sense of humour, but not only that, just a slap in the face to Jezebel, in that God can go and hide his people anywhere. And God takes his man and moves him outside of the land and goes and places him right underneath Jezebel's father's nose. That's where she learned everything she knows from her father. And that's where God has hidden his prophet now. Luke 4:24-26. I won't make you flip around too much tonight, but go there, please, as a comparison passage. Luke 4:24-26. Some interesting commentary here to set the scene around the fact that God picked a widow outside of the land for this prophet to go to. Luke 4. And in the words of the Lord, he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And we know that to be true, because the people's hearts are in rebellion. They've taken Baal. And he said, verse 25, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta. That's the another name for that city, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Isn't that exciting to see in the New Testament Jesus referring back to the faithful ministry of this widow? She's a foreigner. She's not Jewish. She's outside of the land. And Jesus was declaring here, you know what? There are many widows. This was a hard time in Israel. Death was at many people's doorstep. Why? The famine word. You know, we're not too far in to the total lack of water in the land, and there's already famine. There's roughly 2 more years to go, and there's already famine. People are starving, particularly those who are down the bottom of the social tree. And widows were definitely there. No one to necessarily provide unless they had been taken in. Very limited resources. And there probably would have been many, many, many widows that would have put their hand up and said, please send the prophet here. But you see, God is keeping his man away for a season. The people need to learn. And indeed, we will see in the next few messages that the people haven't even repented when rain comes. But God in his goodness sends the increase, sends the rain. Well, there was another widow, the widow that God had selected. Flip back over, please, to our text in 1 Kings 17. And God looks upon the hearts of men as he does. He searches and he sees this widow's heart. He sees something there that he can work with. He sees this widow actually in dire straits. As a matter of fact, she's about to die. But he sees something in her heart that he can work with and bring about these circumstances to his glory. And verse 9, we read there, God speaking, I have commanded a widow woman. And so somehow the word of the Lord, this command comes to this widow woman. Now, we don't see that in the text. We don't see Elijah walking into town at the gate and the woman glances out and sees the man of God coming and says, alas, thus you are the one that God commanded me about. There we go. That was my best rendition outside of Scripture. But somehow the word of the Lord had got to this woman. God's already singled out this lady in his special ministry. And so, although tonight's sermon is entitled the Widow's Choice, really, there are two people here making choices. There's both Elijah and there's the widow. And they're going through very similar circumstances. And so that morning, as Elijah was on the outskirts of town, he was, say, an hour or two out of town, this widow wakes in the morning, this mum, she's got a young son, and she wakes to the nightmare that has finally become a reality. She's been thinking about this moment for a long time. The days have been ticking by. She's been looking at her food supply. She's exhausted all possible channels of begging. She's sold everything that she possibly can to be able to convert that into a food supply. But the day has come where there is no hope. There is nothing left but a handful of flour in a clay vessel. And no doubt that morning, she may have even just looked in that vessel and seen that last handful of meal, handful of flour, and thought, all right, Lord, this is it. this is the time, this is the day. Without telling her son, she leaves their abode and heads out to find the necessary firewood that she needs to make a small fire and heat up the wide earthen vessel that she needs to have the coals placed in to then make a little bread cake and to sit that next to the embers and to have that cure and to have their last meal. This is what's on her mind. Parents, you know the times when there are things happening in your lives when the burdens are almost too hard to bear, right? You don't tell the kids. You try to protect them. You try and shield them from the things that they don't understand. You maybe put the brave face on. You spend those times in earnest prayer away from the children. You know those times when there are no answers, when it would seem that God is silent and you're just waiting and it's hard. And sometimes it's hurtful and it's so draining. You're trying to protect your family from those things. I reckon that's what this mum was doing. She can't hide it anymore, though. What's she going to tell her boy? Son, there's no food. How blessed are we? How blessed are we not lacking supplies of food or really anything that we want, and yet we would still, if we had our list, we would come up with all of our needs. And that's what this mum is facing that morning. And so we see in verse 10 so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was gathering of sticks. And he called unto her. And so the woman there was, with her heavy burdened heart, was gathering her sticks in her, maybe her little carry satchel. And maybe she was down on the ground putting those sticks together. Maybe she was walking from spot to spot. But at that point at the gate in the city, the prophet of the Lord comes. And the prophet says, I like to think that he said, hello. I like to think that maybe he said, good morning. But then his next statement says, he called unto her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel problem. He's asking for water. Now, it's drought, right? Water is money. Perhaps the woman had a little water left. But he says to the woman, fetch me some water. The next thing he says is, fetch me some food. You know, she's going about her final task here. This man walks up to her, and it is a wonderful prearranged moment that God has organized. We get the benefit of seeing the commentary and looking back in history. But how does this woman feel on the spot? How does she feel? You know, Elijah no doubt came across as a tough individual. But he's a stranger in the land. I want to break down the conversation here a little bit. Verse 10, Elijah requests a drink. And what's the widow's response? Can you see the response there in verse 10? She doesn't say anything. She says nothing. It just says that she turned. And as she was going to fetch it, verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, she said nothing to the man. Maybe she just nodded. Maybe she paused. But we don't see her here react to this stranger. Who do you think I am? Do you know what you're asking for? And do you know of whom you are asking? There is no word. And so we see a graciousness in the heart of this widow. We see an attitude here amongst extreme pressure where she yields to the request and she just turns to fetch the water. Now, as she turns to fetch the water, it's not over. Because as she was going, verse 11, Elijah adds to the complication. Verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Oh, and also, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." Now, we could be mistaken for reading Elijah's communication and his approach here as being presumptuous and uncaring. I do believe that he knows not the state of this lady. But what does he have? He has the word of the Lord. He has the word of the Lord that I have commanded a widow to provide for you. Now, under the leading, then, under God's leading, he sees this woman and knows who this lady is. And so, okay, well, you're here to provide, and he no doubt politely goes through his request for water, and he says, and by the way, can you whip me up a little bread? Just something, I'm a bit peckish, I'm hungry, it's been a long journey. And about now, the emotion builds in this lady's heart. It's not, I don't believe Elijah's being insensitive. Of course not. He is simply asking for the provision that God has already indicated to him. Really, in the minds of this lady and in the minds of the people around, Elijah is talking insanity. Because of her own circumstances. He's talking about abundant provision. He's talking in the language of, there's no problem. There's no problem with provision. All you need to do, he's asking for hospitality. He's asking to be entertained, to be boarded. And who did he approach to ask to be boarded with and to be fed and to be entertained by? A woman and a boy who are about to die. But can you see it coming together? Can you see the perfect contradiction of circumstances? Because God's going to take this, as he does in his perfect will, and brings about those two things for good. And teaches both Elijah and this woman something about his character. Well, she then, in the next verse, says she actually swears an oath. She listens to the question. She listens to the question. She says to Elijah, have a look there in verse 11, verse 12. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, right? As in, what I'm about to say to you is the absolute truth. I'm swearing by God. I have not a cake. You're asking me for a cake? I got no cakes. Maybe we could do that next time the kids come home from school absolutely starving, right? And they walk in the house and they're going, I'm starving, I haven't got any cakes. Stop it. But that's probably not true, right? Because our refrigerators usually are full of different bits and pieces, even if they are slightly out of date. I haven't got a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. I've got a handful of flour. You know, this, the emotions here are really coming to the surface. I want you to try and picture in your mind the face of this woman as she's trying to explain to the prophet without absolutely collapsing on the ground. I don't have any bread. I don't have anything but this handful, literal handful of flour at home and a few drops of oil. That's all I have. And I was about to go and I'm gathering these sticks now and I'm making a fire and I'm going to go home and I'm going to make a single little cake for me and my son to eat, and that's it for us, and we're dying. And so she explains this to the prophet. And then verse 13. What does Elijah say? Elijah says, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. You are I'm so rude. You need to go home and eat that last cake with your son and then die. I will leave you be. No, he says, fear not. Circumstances do that to us, don't they? They bring tremendous fear. They bring tremendous fear and uncertainty in my life, and they do the same thing for you. If they don't, then there's something wrong, seriously, I think, with our heart, right? Because God knows our frame and we're but dust. And fear comes so easily. And the encouragement here from the prophet to this lady is, I know you're scared about today. I can feel that. I pick that up now in the tone of your voice, in your promise before God that you have no food at home. Fear not. You see, Elijah has a word from the Lord. God has just been teaching Elijah this whole time what it means to depend on God for his very next meal, morning and night, day after day after day after day, month after month. Elijah's been through this. And Elijah now has the personal experience to be able to say to this lady, God's going to provide here. Because you know what? God never sends us down dead ends. God never commands his people off the cliff. When God gives a commandment and he gives a leading, he will provide. He may not provide in the timing that we want, but he certainly provides in his time. Fear not. Maybe you can complete the rest of that verse elsewhere with Joshua. You know, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He wants her to know that when God promises, God does not back down due to circumstances. Who is the instigator of the famine? God is. Who is holding back the rain at the earnest prayer of Elijah? God is. Who's led Elijah to this one widow? Not the other widows in the country, but to this widow? God did. That has the ingredients of a miracle. And it's the same with us. When circumstances come along in your life, and even in the life of our church, where we look at it and there is no possible logical answer, but yet we can claim, no, Lord, we're being faithful, we're being earnest in prayer, we're looking to you, we're standing upon God's word that has the ingredients for a miracle. And when it comes, brethren, let me tell you this. Not only praise God, but tell other people about it. Because there's someone next to you that's going through their problem as well. Tell them, encourage them, fear not. God can work in any circumstances to good, to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Not our purpose, to his purpose. Now, if someone turned up at our house tomorrow morning and said, hi, can I have a drink, please? It'd be a bit rude, wouldn't it? In our culture, we're not too welcome and open to strangers who just come down our driveway and knock on our door and say, can I please have a drink? And then perhaps then say, can I have something to eat? And literally be looking at you as if this is normal. But that's what's happening right here, but for a great purpose. See, God has eyes that see and God has ears that hear. And he sees and he hears the desperate cry of his people when they're in need. And God's not offended when we go to him and say, Lord, we need your provision. What does he want us to do? He wants us to come boldly to the throne in time of need. And God looks down and he sees this handmaiden that is in need and sends his prophet not to beg but to board. He will be a guest and the fees that he provides will well provide this lady and her son into the future. Fear not, go and do what you're about to do. Let's pick it up again. Elijah said unto her, verse 13, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Right? All that, those circumstances that you just went through, what you were planning to do, I want you to don't divert. Go and do that. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and thy son. And so a little bit more of the plot is revealed here to the widow, in that she's told, I want you to take those sticks and I'm going to come with you. I'm coming back with you to your place. And I want you to light the fire. And I want you to let that fire burn down to the coals. And I want you to take the handful of flour out of the earthen vessel and put it into your mixing bowl. I want you to empty the last drops of oil. Knead it with your fingers. Shape a cake. Place that on the vessel next to the coals. And I want you to make that cake as normal. And when it's ready and roasted, and when the aroma fills the dwelling, I want you to give it to me. You know, all the way along here, the widow has choices. All the way along. What could the widow have opted for? You are crazy. Don't even know your name. Finds out later it's Elijah. I'm keeping this little cake for myself. And what would the result be? Temporary filling of the tummy, and then death. But you see, Elijah is offering her a truth that she hasn't heard before. She is holding on to the promises here for a new reality, for a changing of her destiny. And she does so because there's a promise on the back of it. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You see, God was so gracious here to give an assurance to this lady. That's okay. You make me the cake first. God's promise to you is that your resources will not finish. Does she believe it? Oh, yeah, she does. The phrase here, will not fail, literally means come to an end. The oil being depleted literally means lacking. It will not lack. And so every time this widow goes to seek a source of flour, of meal from this vessel, there will be supply. Every time she picks up that oil, that cruse of oil to pour it out, there will be oil. Just enough each time to provide sustenance. Elijah's words to the widow here give her an opportunity to enter into a victory that she has not known. She stands here at the door of decision. And by faith, she can enter this new reality of provision that will absolutely strengthen her faith in an amazing way, that she'll be telling generations to come, and that they'll record it in the scriptures, and that Jesus will retell it in the New Testament, and that we'll hear about it again tonight. And so she decides to yield, and she takes that cake and she gives it to the prophet. And I like to think that during this time, maybe the prophet was talking with her son and, you know, I don't know, telling him about the ravens and, you know, how they're not so bad birds after all. And telling him a few stories and, you know, that nasty king over there, Ahab and whatever. And maybe just looking over at the widow now and then just giving her a glance of confidence. And, you know, when that cake comes to him, he looks at her and then gives her the go-ahead. All right, then. Now try it again. And you know what? She puts her hand into that vessel and pulls out another handful of flour. And she takes that cruse that she had just emptied every single drop out of and then again pours more oil out for her and her son. Do you reckon she was smiling? Do you think that she maybe was even laughing and rejoicing? I reckon so. Because you see, her household now had a special blessing that none other had. And the prophet stayed with and boarded with this widow. And that was the way that God had provided. You see, the widow already knew what it was like to experience grief. We were already told she's a widow. She's lost her husband. She's now going through these exceptionally hard circumstances, about to perish from starvation. And yet God works well in desolate situations. God worked in Elijah's life in the Wadi Cherith. God worked in this desolate town in the poorest home of a widow. But whilst God was working, the widow still had to choose. She did believe the word of Elijah, and as a result, she took part of the ministry in providing for the prophet, and her household was blessed. You know, young people, for God to use you in eternal matters, God is looking for those desolate moments. Now, sure, when we're young and we're full of energy, and often when we're still at home and under the protection and the provision of home, there aren't too many desolate times that we experience personally. But you know what? As we do get older and we face different challenges, God wants to work in those desolate moments. God wants to work in those moments when you feel that there is no answer yet. God wants to take that time and work in your heart to shape and to mold you to be more like him. What's the world's answer to humanity's needs? It's two things. It's education and it's resources. Have you noticed that? We simply need to be more educated. And then we need additional resources. God's answer to humanity was the Lord Jesus Christ, and remains the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he will provide all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You see, God has already provided for the needs of humanity. And it's God's way to use the things that are impossible to show us his glory. In those moments when we feel weak and foolish, they're the moments that God wants to use. He wants to use the weak and the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And the challenge for us tonight, Christians, is this. In that when those desolate times come, and what God's working in our hearts, God's not only preparing you perhaps to serve even further or even in a different direction, but God's preparing you to have a ministry in the life of somebody else that's going to go through a desolate time in the future. Just like he did with Elijah before he went to the widow. It's one thing, and you know, you've had people come to you before, and they're well-meaning, when they really don't understand what you're going through, but they just simply say, just trust the Lord. You know what? That's the right answer. But if we've got a kindness in our hearts as a result of learning and experiencing how God ministers to us in our time of need, that is a genuine love that comes across when other people have their time of need. Elijah learned, again, that God can and does provide out of the impossible. Imagine perhaps what he was thinking when he came to the gate and he met the woman, and God said, this is the woman. And then the woman said, I've got nothing. That was probably the moment for Elijah to think, is this the wrong woman? I've just been led away from the brook where the birds were bringing the food. And I've come here and this poor woman's about to die. How could I possibly take her food? No. By faith, he trusted God's promises. He didn't know how it was going to work out. He didn't know what God was going to do. But he trusted in God's promises. You know, God multiplied there her food. Have a look, please. Verse 15. And she went and she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. That was until rain came. That was like 2 years. That's a lot of provision. I wonder when they got to that time when the rains came, whether they took those two vessels and put them on the shelf of their home and used them as a moment of remembrance. You know, and every time a need came, they looked and they saw that well-used cruse of oil and that very well-worn-out earthen vessel of flour and said, remember when God provided for us for 2 years straight out of those two vessels? God can do anything. And we are well-to-do to remember when God blesses us and to use those moments as milestones, as points of remembrance, to look back at how God has provided to encourage us into the future. God already knew the heart of the widow, otherwise he wouldn't have commanded her to be used. God is looking tonight, both young people and the rest of the brethren here. What is God looking for? He's looking for empty vessels that he can fill. He's looking, yes, for worthy vessels. He's looking for clean vessels, but he's looking for empty vessels that he can fill to bring about the glory for himself. I think we need to take a lesson here from the widow and from Elijah into trust God's promises for provision. Don't be discouraged by the circumstances. That's what the brethren and the local church are here for, right? Is to encourage each other and to help bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Come to church expecting to be encouraged. But come to church expecting an opportunity to be an encourager. When we think things are dry and unworkable, just watch for God's hand. They did so at the Red Sea crossing. They sang on the other side, "The Lord is my strength and my song." The psalmist declared, "The Lord is the strength of my life." And again in 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." And we know, we're reminded tonight from 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Our God shall supply all our needs. In those times of weakness, brethren, they can be very special times when God can fill us and give us the strength that we need, not only to be sustained through the tough times, but to grow in our faith and our walk with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and we ask that you would remind us even this week to be trusting you with everything that we have. Even though sometimes, Lord, it can be so little or we think it's so little. Lord, whatever our circumstances may be, may we be crying out boldly to our God and depending on you for our needs, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.